will not always be easy or comfortable in the natural. That's why if you think about it too long, you'll talk yourself right out of it. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's all kind of reasons. I don't have enough money. Good. That makes you just right. Because then you got to learn to depend on God. I got a young lady in the Philippines that's been in our feeding program since she's just a little tyke. And her mother passed away about 7 years ago, probably 6-7 years ago. And her mother, unfortunately, lived in a squatter area. And she's got three brothers. And when a mother gets caught in a situation like that and has no biblical background, she usually sells something that she oughtn't to be selling. So she got four children. Anyway, Jessa ended up, three brothers and her, and a kind of mean stepfather. And he works, so this little gal has raised them three boys. They're now 13, 12, and 10. From the time she was about 12, she's 19 now. And the stepfather he's always mad at him because it takes his money to help feed him, and he don't want to feed him. He got things he wants to do. So the other day I got a letter from Jesus. She said, I really need prayer, Bishop. Our stepfather left, and I don't think he's coming back, and we have no food. So you understand sometimes the cares and things of the church, Paul talked about. So I was on the phone this morning about 6, talking to Father Manuel. Told him to check on him, see what they're doing. And he's left, and evidently nobody knows where he is. So anyway, but she's trying to go to college and some things, so the church is working with her. But them's the kind of things that you're confronted with. They're not easy. They're not easy to deal with, but see, it'd be real easy to say, well, we don't have anything, or no way we can do anything. Be warm and be filled. No, if there's a need in front of you, you can do something about it. God didn't open your eyes to it without saying, well, just look at it. I believe there's all kind of needs in front of you that you never see. But God's anointing wasn't there to open your eyes to see them. But the one He lets you see, you better be on your toes about. Because it's very easy to not see the needs. And God will call you to do things like that. I don't understand it. And I can tell you one thing, just from my own experience, it's not easy running dioceses from halfway around the world. But it can be done. Because they're growing and they're being blessed and they're getting stronger. And little Jessa wrote back. She said, what I'm going through is really hard. She said, but I know in the end, God will make me stronger. Amen. So she's not running from it. She believes in God for a miracle. I am too for her. Hallelujah. That's one of the things that happened over there. It's on the mission field so much is that the American church keeps so many things going. And they never get to understand there's major resource. Philippines is a very wealthy country. Africa, how much more wealthy can you get than Africa? It's a distribution. Because nobody ever taught them to give. The Roman church, when they come in 1500, never taught the Filipinos to give. And then when the Protestants came, they couldn't teach them to give because they was wanting to steal the Romans. So if they was going to charge them to come, so nobody ever taught them to give. That's why most of the wealth in the Philippines is controlled by just a few families. Let me tell you something. They start giving, God will distribute it. Sure. Africa the same way. It's not what you got. It's what you do with what you got. So many people say, oh, I can't give. I don't have enough to make any difference. Let me tell you something. That little lady with them two little old copper coins. You remember that? That little widow lady? Man, they was playing trumpets. Those guys bringing their offerings down in big baskets. Hallelujah. It was quite a celebration for them guys. She just probably sneaked in, hoping nobody's here, and slipped them two little coins in the treasury. And she had Jesus' 100% attention. Because she gave all she had. We used to have convocations, and we'd have people come in the Philippines, and they'd have enough money to get there and none to get home. Because they had money to come get home when they came, but they'd give it all. Wasn't long till you see their life change. A young man one time, this is what the Holy Ghost will do for you. Your chances of being martyred, being Christian, is pretty good. If you ever look at history, because there's been more martyrs in the last 100 years than there was the previous 1900. So your chance of being a Christian and really on fire, a good chance that your fire might be put out someday. But you'll be in a better place. The early church, they was desirous of being martyred. Instead of running from it, they was desirous of it. See, we got that thing all turned around. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Now, don't go out and kill yourself. But don't run from it either. Anyway, we had a young man over there, and when the rebels captured you, one of the common things they do to preachers and things was they'd always make you dig your own grave. Then they're going to kill you. So Manny was digging away, and he was really distraught about the first three or four shovels full, and then he got thinking, well, I'm going to be with Jesus in just a little bit. And the more he shoveled, the happier he got. Glory to God, I'm going to be with Jesus in a little bit. And he was shoveling and really getting excited. And when he got the hole dug, he turned around and everybody run. And they said that his face shined like it was glowing and scared them all about half to death. And he went through really deep depression for a while because he was ready to go, man, and didn't get to make the trip. See, things happen that you don't understand. How do you think all the apostles basically went to, was martyred? Why? Fox's Book of Martyrs? What a great book. That'll help heal you a little bit. See the miracles that took place in that? Don't have time, me. I'm going to be with Jesus. They understood that. So you'll do things. Matter of fact, God spoke to Phyllis and I one time. I don't know what the end result of this will be. I might just die of old age at 120. I don't know. But anyway, God spoke to us one time if we was willing. We was going places where it wasn't really the most safe places in the world. And God asked us if we was willing to die. Of course, we said yes. That's what the Holy Spirit would want you to say. Why wouldn't I be willing to die? I'm going to go be with Jesus. Well, we got the fear. All authority is His anyway, so if I die, He's authority. We got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what a charismatic is. Crazy. To the world. How dare you think that way? We've had a lot of funny things happen to us over the years. And God always spared us. The one moving to the Philippines that I told you about, that was one. And we went to the Philippines. And we lived there. I go back and forth now. They've got Phyllis on flight restriction right now. On account of her asthma, they won't let her get in that tin can with wings on it and breathe other people's air for about 17 hours. So, but I'll be going again in November. And hope we get a new bishop at that point, or at least get him elected. We've been working on Father Manuel. So, you got to trust them. I find so many people in leadership is afraid to trust people. Well, let me tell you something. When you've taught and you've discipled and you turn it over to somebody else, that proves your teaching. And if we're afraid they're going to fail, then we must not have much faith in our teaching. This thing expands. God multiplies it, multiplies it, multiplies it. He likes big. God likes big. The glory of the Lord covers the earth. So you're not going to get out of the glory. It's going to be there. I remember one night in Africa, God is so good about delivering you. I remember one time back in South Africa before apartheid was ended. We was in a little town, and what would happen was that the white people could come into the building, but the Africans couldn't. So what would happen, they'd be in the alley, and I'd always open the door so they could hear the preaching. And then I'd sneak out in the alley and pray for them. Because there wasn't none of the white people, white South Africans wouldn't be prayed for anyway. They was too proud to get prayed for. And one night a little fella he come into the city hall and came into the city hall, which he shouldn't have done. But he did, and I said, he said, and he had a few bottles of beer, maybe too many. Why, he was brave enough to come in. He said, I want to receive Jesus. I said, okay. So I took his hand. So that was a no-no at that time. To tell you, the next thing that happened was Phyllis and my daughter and me were on our way to jail. Because not only had he come in, I laid my hands on him and we had talked to him. Well, I didn't know the difference. Boy, he wanted to receive Jesus. And you know what God done? He's so good. South Africa is about, what, 6-7 hours difference. And God woke up people all over the place. Now, it's about 10 o'clock night, so it's in the morning. Woke up people all over Canada and the United States, all over, to pray for us. And they seen us going somewhere. And then all of a sudden, we were just let go. Just let go. And we went ahead and preached in South Africa for a long time. Things happen. They have a big witch doctor ceremony in seminary in Zimbabwe. We're out in a little town of Croy. Croy is a town that is home of the witch doctors. And they got a river there. And in that river, when the people are afraid to get baptized because they think you get demon-possessed when you go in the water, because that's where the witch doctors go, and they got a ceremony, and that's empowered in the water. So everybody's afraid to get baptized. So God spoke to me, the put holy water on that seminary. I thought, well, how are we going to do that? And I prayed about it. He said, well, get a plane. Get a plane and spray it. I thought a crop duster, that'll work. Well, we didn't find a crop duster, but I found an old boy that had a Cessna 150 that was really, really ragged. Interior was all shot. It was barely flyable, it looked like. He said, sure, I'll take you up. So, I made up 10 gallons of holy water. And here we go in this 150, and they're coming down a hill. And boy, I thought that thing's not going to get off the ground. We're coming down the hill, and boy, just about time we got the trees, he got her up. And away we went. And we went down over the Witch Doctor Seminary, and real low. Made a pass, they all come running out. When they come running out, the next time we opened the door, and I threw 5 gallons of holy water right down on all of them. And then we went up to where they'd sacrifice people on an altar on a mountain, and we holy watered that place too. So when we come back in, oh boy, it was a pilot. We landed, just got over the trees, and he set her down. And we're going up this hill. I said, why did we come down the hill to go and go up the hill when we're done? He said, simple. He said, no power. We had to come down the hill, not enough power to get up, and going up, no brakes, coming back the other way. So that was our fine plane ride. Yeah. And it was an amazing thing because the witch doctors literally controlled that country. Now they got Mugambi. He's just a communist, that's all. Yeah, he's just ridiculous. But at least it exposed him to the world. If you think it's back in the room, but I got some Zimbabwe money. Used to be a Zim dollar by a loaf of bread. I got bills that go up to $20 trillion now. They won't buy a loaf of bread. And they started printing a new bill the other day. I just got a thing on it from a friend of ours that works over there. $100 trillion bill. It's worthless. Selling about maybe 40 cents. So don't get too excited about your money. It can go in a hurry. Yeah. But you can get excited about Jesus because he's got plenty. A provision wherever you're at. I remember one time we was at a... God told me to take 12 people with us to the Philippines. This back early. I don't know how we got... Well, we didn't get two of them home. Because they're kind of rebels, so we just left them. They wanted to do their own thing, so they got to do their own thing. It was all right. But anyway, we got over there and we went out to a little town and preached. And we always tried to get everybody involved in it because we'd use the plaza downtown. And we got traveler's checks. You know how good traveler's checks are in the middle of the jungle? They're not worth the paper they was wrote on. We didn't have any money to speak of for 12 people. We were staying in this little hotel. And I thought, what are we going to do? You know, wasn't going to take up an offering or anything. And one night, we always tried to get the Roman church involved, everybody involved. And the Roman Catholic priest for that church came one night. And we have him do the prayer and open things. And so what he done, I don't know how much communion he had that day, but plenty. And maybe some of it wasn't communion. I don't know. Maybe it was just the wine. But he was a little tipsy when he got there. And he opened the meeting and prayed, and it was all good. And when we got done, we didn't have no money for a hotel. And nobody knew it, except Phil's and I don't think. I don't think even none of the other people with us did. Here's this little guy that don't take up offerings or anything. Says, we really appreciate these people coming and bringing us some word and singing, and really been a blessing to us, and I think we ought to receive an offering for them. And they opened, Michelle was with us, she opened up her guitar case, and then people come. There was about 2,000 or 3,000 people there. They kept coming by and throwing some coins in and everything when it all got done. Just enough fair hotel bill. So God don't care where you're at. He's always got. He said, go ye into all the world. I always pray for astronauts. He didn't say anything about the moon or anything else. But as long as I'm in the world, I'm in God's wonderful place. He said to go. Now, he'll probably pick out a place for you. In Russia, totally different, but totally good. We've never been any place we didn't meet wonderful people and people of God. There's ideology differences, governments and all that kind of thing, but they're just temporary anyway. All authority is His, belongs to Jesus. So I want to encourage you that a charismatic does weird things. It was not hard to understand why they said, these men are drunk. Yeah. We prayed for people and seen them stagger around like a drunk. You'd just pray they'd hurry up and fall out in the spirit rather than stumble around like they was. We were in a leper colony one time. And in the Philippines, when they have a leprosy, is they go into a community and develops its own economy, actually, after a while. We went in there. First time we was ever around that, some people in Zamboanga took us to a leper place, and I had on a pair of flips because we've been out to the beach. And then they handed me a book, one left little pamphlet talking about Hansen's disease, and said it always starts in your toes or your fingers. And I got the worst case athlete's foot you ever had in my life, and I knew I had it. But God did. He was good. He comforted me and got me over it. But anyway, what happened was that we was in that place, and I prayed for him. Ask them if anybody wanted to receive Jesus. No. Nobody did. The Lord said, well, ask them if they want to be healed. Anybody want to be healed? No. He said, ask them if they want to receive the Holy Spirit. I did. Here they all come. Here they all come. And we started praying for them, and they started falling out in spirit. And they were just piled on top of one another, awful twisted up arms and legs and things you've ever seen in your life. Well, that stupid little pamphlet they gave me told me that their fingers and toes, they kind of petrify and they just break off finally. I just knew we was going to have a wheelbarrow load of fingers and toes after they'd all flopped around there together. And they stood up and nobody was... We didn't have no fingers and no toes. Hallelujah. They was full of the Holy Ghost having a big time. Had one lady with us. And they always take you to eat. Well, so many of them, they've lost all their fingers and everything, you know. So here they come with your sandwich between two palms, you know, bringing it to you. Said, we're really going to pray over this, aren't we? Yeah, I say we're going to pray over it. It's all right. But those kind of things are experiences. had a friend with me one time. He was in the hospital in a leper place. And of course, when it's active, it's their congestion and pneumonia and things is really tough. And I said, okay, Tom, lay your hands on this guy. We're going to pray for him. We went in the infirmary part and asked if they wanted a prayer. And I looked over at Tom, and he's going like this. He's looking for a clean spot on that gown where he can put one finger. See, we can't be that way. I seen a picture of a great faith preacher one time with rubber gloves on praying for the sick. I thought, man, this is something crazy here somewhere. Don't worry about things that comes into your mind. It makes sense. If it's Jesus, it might not make sense. It's like giving. I was so thankful that Archbishop Jones had a basket down here. Oh, it's still there. Hallelujah. Did anybody empty it? And I'll tell you why. The Bible says don't come to the altar of God empty-handed. So I'm thankful he had it there so I could put something in it because I don't want to come before the altar empty-handed of God. I don't care how little it is. I have always people in the Philippines, they give just their little bitty ones. They're going to partake. Don't be empty-handed. Hallelujah. But I just encourage you. Now, one of the things I want to ask you, and I want you to be honest with me. And I know it's going to be hard for you, Jim. We are the Charismatic Episcopal Church. We're the International Communion of the Charismatic Episcopal Church. But I also know that we got some that ain't exactly charismatic. Because you're not nuts. That's how I can tell some of you. So, if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to get filled today. Amen. And if you're here and you haven't done it, I know this is tough. Boy, we're in America. We don't like to do anything that'd be embarrassing. But if you don't freely speak in tongues and prophesy, I want you to raise your hands. Go ahead. Don't be ashamed. If there's any of you here, praise God. I want some of us to gather around anybody that needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a couple of you. There's probably some more of you. It's a little backwards. There's two. Now, I want some people in here that's full of the Holy Ghost to get around Dave over here, get around Mike and his beloved back there, and this young man over here. Anybody else? I mean, that thing's got to be like a river flowing out of you. Out of your belly flow rivers of living water. And I want us to leave here filled. Filled, filled, overflowing to where it's oozing out every pore of your body. To where things that made sense don't make sense no more. To where people maybe you didn't love, you love now like you never thought you could love them. God wants to change things, see? And we all need it. And if you've got it and some around you don't have it, you need to be given it. Amen. Kelly prayed for me yesterday up here. Most of you know the story of Kelly. He's free of cancer, I'm sure. As I told him, as a matter of fact, I told Elaine that one time. Always pray for the sick. If you're sick, pray for the sick. Because you get what you give. Right. You're giving healing, you get well. Yeah. you're depressed, pray for people to have joy. Yeah. Start giving joy. You won't be depressed much longer. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, we do praise you and we glorify you. You are the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. All authority is yours, Lord. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be in bondage, Lord. You are our provision. You're our everything. Our life's in you, and you're in us, and we're in you, which is the exciting part. We're so much in you that as Jesus said to Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Let me tell you something. You're being persecuted. They're persecuting Jesus. If you're being shunned and pushed away, they're pushing away Jesus. Lord, and give us a sensitive ear to believe those over us in the Lord. Know they can hear from God. And Lord, let us grow. Now, Lord, these people need filled with the Holy Ghost. I want us to just lay hands on them and let the glory of God come forth in their life. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, we glorify you and we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Dave's right there. Some of you around him, lay hands on him. This young man back here.